At midnight on August 1st, 1981, MTV blasted onto America's airwaves.
Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
MTV co-creator John Lack uttered those words before the first music video aired. Buggles' video killed the radio star. Reality shows like The Real World or Jersey Shore had no part in the programming 30 years ago. The 24-hour network was all about rock music videos, VJs, and music news, and it changed the way fans related to their favorite music. Whether it is the first time you saw Michael Jackson's Thriller or an episode of The Real World, what's your unforgettable MTV moment? 800-989-8255. That's the phone number. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Matt Penfield is the host of the indie alternative music series 120 Minutes, 120 Minutes, which first debuted on MTV in 1995. It's back again, and he joins us now from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, Tony. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Before I ask you the first question, I want to read some of these emails. They are pouring in here about people's remembrances of MTV. I remember the day it started well. I recorded the whole day because I didn't think that MTV would last. This is from Darren in Wilmington. My fondest memory of the very early days of MTV was when Madonna debuted on the MTV Music Awards in a white wedding dress singing Like a Virgin. In true Madonna form, she crawled all over the stage and was somewhat vulgar. I recall sitting with my mother watching the show. She was disgusted. I was in love. Here's another one. The multi-continent, multi-stage event included amazing performances and a surprising bi-coastal run by Phil Collins. To me, it felt like Woodstock for the 80s. So, you know, what about that, Matt? MTV, it was revolutionary.
I mean, it was. And when it started, of course, it wasn't in as many homes as it is now. But the people that did have it were fascinated by it. And, you know, if you were like I was, a kid at that time, you know, in my late teens, anybody who had it in their house, you would go over to their house and watch it for hours. There was still the incredible novelty of seeing music videos and seeing music on television. And in the beginning, Tony, most of the videos were actually of English and European acts because America at the time had not caught on to the making of videos. I mean, we, of course, had Don Kirshner's rock concert, Midnight Special, American Bandstand, and a bunch of different local shows back in the day. But at that point, the reason why there was such an explosion of new wave, and punk bands and boy bands from England was because they were the ones making videos at the time. So eventually Americans caught up, bands like ZZ Top, people like John Cougar Mellencamp, who said, you know what, I want to have a part of this. These bands are selling, and people are discovering them and have a kind of a multimedia way of discovering them.
You know, here's some more emails that we're getting. This one comes from Ramona. She says, the most memorable moment was the Michael Jackson Thriller video. It was so fresh and set a much higher standard for music video entertainment. And a lot of people don't know, or maybe they do, how important a role Michael Jackson actually played with the development of MTV and music video and getting black artists into the mix. Because when MTV began, it was rock music exclusively, pretty much. And it wasn't until a couple of years later that black artists like Michael Jackson began to get in there. And this video right here was one of the things that opened the door. So give us some idea, how did the people that ran MTV in the beginning, how did they decide what to put on and what not to put on?
Well, in the beginning, of course, as I was saying earlier, Tony, there weren't that many videos to choose from. So, I mean, there was some, independently made ones that were good, some things that were just okay. But they would put everything on in the beginning. And, of course, the more people discovered the channel, the more powerful the channel became in helping shape the taste of music fans all over America. You're right about the Michael Jackson Thriller video. Not only was Billie Jean the one that actually blew everybody away and started sending the album Thriller into the stratosphere, but you're right. It opened the door for black artists. Before that, it was definitely more, you know, leaning towards rock and, you know, new wave music that was out at the time. And that changed, literally changed everything. And I think everybody who was around back then remembers where they were the night that Thriller debuted, because it was an event.
Absolutely. You know, we have a handful of emails and a line just people lined up to talk. So let's go to some of them. This is Camille calling from Franklin, Massachusetts. Hello, Camille.
Hi. I distinctly remember being 11 or 12 watching Billy Idol's White Wedding and loving it. And my mom came in. She's a staunch Catholic, and she flipped out when she saw it because she said it was a black mass or something satanic. And she grounded us from MTV. It was probably only a month, but it felt like a year.
Wow, that's amazing.
A great story. Thank you for that. We mentioned that you, Matt, were and are doing 120 minutes. The next caller is somebody that I think remembers you. This is Bill from Loveland, Colorado. Hello, Bill.
Hey there.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm doing good. My memory is discovering 120 minutes. Having grown up in Des Moines, Iowa, which unfortunately in the mid-80s was a radio wasteland, all we had available was rock and roll, classic rock, easy listening, and top 40 stuff. And I never was able to appreciate or get into that. And then discovering Matt and some of the artists that you featured early on, it opened my world up to what music could be and still is, in my opinion.
How about that? Yeah. That's pretty nice, isn't it?
No, absolutely. And thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. And I feel that's one of the things that was magical about 120 and is again, because, you know, I was talking to a journalist from the New York Times who said to me, the reason why 120 back then was so influential was because, you know, the only places that you could find a lot of that music was on college radio, at your independent record store, or on 120 minutes and earned fanzines. And now, because there's so much information out there, it's a good curation, a place to go for those 2 hours to hear it. But I thank you so much for saying that. And I want to say that, you know, everybody from Jack White to Jack Black to the Black Keys, all these artists, actors, and just people that I meet everywhere say how much 120 minutes, you know, influence your musical taste. And, you know, it's just, for me, that's one of the most flattering things. And I'm just grateful that I've gotten the opportunity to host it in the past and that I'm doing it again. So I really appreciate your call.
So, Matt, there was 120, of course. And then in 1993, MTV introduced these guys.
And they're back as well.
Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. Our show's set to make a comeback in October. We have a caller, actually, who wants to talk a little bit about Beavis and Butthead. This is Matt from Clarksville, Tennessee. Go ahead, Matt. Welcome.
I listen to your show almost every day, except when I'm not working. But I enjoyed the MTV through the 80s in high school. And then shortly after that, the Beavis and Butthead was issued, and I'd watched, you know, almost religiously, but and really enjoyed them a lot. But when MTV got into the reality TV, I just didn't watch it anymore. The Beavis and Buttheads were classics, I guess, for my generation, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much for that, Matt. Let me ask you, though, Matt Pinfield, when a situation like this happens with a revolutionary new media concept like MTV was, it goes through growing pains, does it not, and evolves, and some things work and some things don't. Over your recollection, what has worked well for them and what hasn't worked so well?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, because of the fact that, you know, the music video when it first was introduced. I mean, I guess music videos could really go back to, you know, the Beatles doing, you know, Paperback Writer and, you know, Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane and all the things they did. They were music promo clips that were done in the 1960s. But I think, you know, the things that have worked for them, obviously, are the Video Music Awards has become, you know, a landmark staple thing for them. It's coming up again in just a few weeks. And, of course, the Movie Awards as well. And, I mean, a lot of people's careers started at MTV, like Dennis Leary, who now, of course, you see on Rescue Me, Jon Stewart, Adam Sandler. So a lot of people got their breaks there. So, you know, those are the kind of things that have worked out well for them. You know, MTV is actually the people that discovered reality TV very much by accident because, like it or not, they were going to do a soap opera. And they literally realized after that that they weren't going to be paying union actors to act in it. So they had this house and this production team ready to go. And they said, oh, you know what? Why don't we put an ad in, you know, like Soundstage or Variety and see if some people will come and do this thing. And literally, they got all those admissions. And then that's how Real World Season 1 started. So it was actually reality TV, like it or not, was started by accident.
You know, let me read some of these emails. There are so many that I don't have time to get to all of them, but we'll give a few of them a shout out. This is from Will in Citrus Heights, California. The strongest memory that I have of MTV was when Nirvana came on the scene and changed the game, changed the glam rock scene forever. Paradoxically, the next big memory was hearing Kurt Loder on MTV News announce the death of Kurt Cobain. Here's another one from Ben Marino. He says, as a 9-year-old boy in a pink house a la John Mellencamp in Indiana, I remember the debut well. My boyhood friend Phil and I scheduled a sleepover. The pink house was his, he goes on to say, just to stay up and watch the video of this new music channel. I remember the rocket blasting off, astronaut planting the MTV flag, and the unforgettable guitar riff that accompanied the beginning of the music video era. Seems like a lifetime ago. Here's another one from Claudia Miller in Kent, Ohio. I remember coming home from work one day about 5 years ago, my husband Jim saying, you got to see this. He had recorded OK Go treading to their song Here It Goes Again. As we watched, we just laughed louder and louder. It was so hilarious. We were rolling on the floor. That's my pick. Now, this is another one I want to read. I'm going to direct it towards you, Matt, because the person says it's, let me see who it is. It's Susan Adams. She emailed to say, for me, it was the introduction of Jon Stewart. Looking back, that was their lasting legacy since they have abandoned music. Do you think MTV has abandoned music?
Well, I mean, obviously there's less of it shown than there originally was, but not completely, especially if they hired me back again to do 120 minutes. Because, you know, me, I'm a music enthusiast, not a music elitist. And I love music and I love turning people onto it and talking about it. So, you know, they haven't completely abandoned it, obviously, because they brought me back in. Obviously, there's less of it. And look, I'm more of a drama fan than I am a reality TV fan. I'd rather watch Dexter and Law and Order Criminal Intent than a reality show. But, you know, it's been very successful for them. But, you know, I obviously am a big fan of the music, but nobody can discount the effect that MTV has had on helping break artists over the years, whether it goes back to the beginning with Billy Idol and Duran Duran, or, you know, he mentioned, you know, the glam hair metal days, bands like Bon Jovi and Poison, and then, of course, Nirvana, which became this bulldozer.
Absolutely.
Who, you know, kind of knocked everything out of the water. I mean, I remember when the Nirvana video debuted.
Well, hold on a minute, Matt. Let people know where we are, what they're listening to. We're talking with Matt Penfield, and we're looking at the 30th anniversary of MTV. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. All right, finish your story.
Oh, you know, I was going to say that I think the Nirvana, obviously Madonna, we got a letter earlier that you read about the Madonna doing Like a Prayer and rolling around on stage at the Video Music Awards, which was really, you know, obviously it was not only a big moment for Madonna, but it was, I think, the thing that cemented the Video Music Awards as a force as well. You know, the Nirvana thing, getting back to that was, I mean, the effect that Kurt Cobain and Nirvana had when they debuted with Smells Like Teen Spirit on the channel, becoming, whether he liked it or not, very much the voice of a generation, changed the way that young people listen to music and opened the door in a way that hadn't been done, you know, I think since the 1960s, because of the fact that it became about not having to wear a uniform, not having to be a certain way, not having to be good looking, you know, all that kind of thing. You could do, it was do it yourself. It was whatever, anything goes. And I think that's what was so great about Nirvana there.
Let's squeeze one more call in here if we can. This is Franklin from South Bend, Indiana. Franklin, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi.
My biggest memory of MTV is actually not the music portion of it, but the reality portion of it, and that was The Real World. I grew up in a very rural part of Indiana, so there wasn't a lot of multiculturalism. And so when I went to college, that was the San Francisco season, and it just opened me up to an incredible world that I wasn't even aware of. And the whole season with Pedro and introducing homosexuality to the nation in a much different light than what I grew up viewing, and his whole storyline, and then him dying of AIDS, and then President Clinton saying that now nobody in the United States can say that they weren't affected by somebody that died of AIDS. I can just remember watching the tribute special to him. Just
frankly, I've got to interrupt you only because there's another piece of tape I want to play before we get out of here. Thank you very much for the phone call. This is 1992, the beginning of reality TV on MTV.
I'm HIV positive.
When Pedro told me he was HIV positive, it was just like, no, not him. I like this guy, and I don't want him to have to suffer.
Our time is up, Matt Penfield, and it's been a wonderful conversation, but would you say that MTV will be remembered more for the music or for its impact on reality TV?
I think it'll be remembered for both things because it changed the way people listened to and looked at music, and it actually, I know because I was in the music department helping pick the videos and creating buzz clips, it helped break so many artists and make artists go from obscurity into the stratosphere. And it also introduced reality TV, which is, of course, now exploded. And you've got competition shows. You've got a show like, you know, the last call we got, I have to agree with him. I think it was great that people learned about AIDS and that, you know, people with a small town mind that didn't want to face it or understand it, they finally got to see it. It was a very important thing. So I think it'll be remembered for both, Tony,
to be honest. You were a big part of that. Happy birthday to MTV, and happy birthday to you for your part in doing it. Matt Penfield hosts 120 Minutes, which comes on the last Saturday of every month on MTV2, joining us from our bureau in New York. Tomorrow, army tanks in Syria continue to pound anti-government protesters. We'll talk about what, if anything, the U.S. can do about it. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Tony Cox in Washington.